The title of the sermon this morning is The Fifth Commandment, Part 2. We started this study last week of the Fifth Commandment, and this so far, this is the only commandment that we've spent 2 weeks on. And we're also going to be spending 2 weeks on the commandment about adultery in a few weeks. We're not there yet, but there's a lot to cover there as well. Our text, though, for the Fifth Commandment is Exodus 20:12. And so let me read that for us. And then we'll get into it. Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So this is the first, if you remember, of the social commandments. The first of the social commandments, of the two tables in the Ten Commandments. The first four are about your relationship with God. And then the last six are about your relationship with people. They're social commandments. And this is the first of the social commandments because, assuming that parents are godly and are teaching their kids to love God and to love their neighbor as their self and to keep all the other commandments, if a child would simply learn to honor their mother and father, then by default, they're going to end up obeying all of the other commandments. If you learn how to get along with your mom and dad, that's the foundation for learning how to get along with everybody else in life. It's such an important relationship, such an important commandment. So that's why it's the first of the social commandments. Last week, we looked at 10 ways to honor your parents. Let me review those real quick. Just going to run through them. I'm not going to explain them. We said these are the ways you can honor your parents. And there are more than this. But here are 10. Number one, obey them. That's if you're still living under their roof. Number two, respect them. Number three, strive to please them. Number four, be honest and open with them. Number five, make them a priority in your life. Number six, seek their counsel. Number seven, let them enjoy their grandchildren. Number eight, care for them in their old age. Number nine, be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, because the closer you are to God, the better son or daughter you'll be. And then number 10, treat them the way you would want to be treated. Imagine that you're their age and you're in their shoes. How would you want to be treated as a parent? Okay, so today we're going to finish up the study on this fifth commandment by answering two questions. Number one, why should you honor your parents? Why should we honor our parents? What's the motivation? And then the second question we're going to look at is, what can parents do to make it easier for their kids to honor them? What can parents do to be more honorable and more respectable? So, first of all, why should children honor their parents? If you're taking notes, number one, for your own benefit. Honor your parents for your own benefit. Is my microphone up loud enough for you guys in the back? Yeah? Okay. For your own benefit, Proverbs 1:8-9, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck." In other words, your parents' teaching, your parents' instruction, your parents' counsel and advice will make you more attractive. It'll make you more prosperous. It'll make you more successful. It'll make you happier. It'll benefit you whenever you honor your parents more than anybody else, more than it'll benefit your parents. Your parents are much smarter than you. Your parents have seen more, experienced more. Your parents have read more. They have heard more. They know more. And so you would do well to listen to them. It's for your own benefit. How many of you have seen the movie about Pistol Pete Maravich? It's called The Pistol, about his childhood. The great basketball player, played at LSU. He does all the tricks. Anybody? Kids, why aren't you raising your hands? You've seen this movie. All right, thank you. I need some support up here. It's a movie about one of the greatest basketball players who ever lived, Pistol Pete Maravich. And his dad was a college coach. And so it showed his dad in basketball practice with the team one day. And the dad took a basketball. His team was just not doing well in the practice, not having a good practice. So he said, "Gather around." He grabbed a basketball. He said, "Guys, this basketball represents everything there is to know about the game of basketball." And then he drew sort of a big circle with a black Sharpie. And he said, "This circle represents what I know about the game of basketball." Then he took his Sharpie and he went, and dotted it to where you couldn't even see the mark. And he said, that's what you know about the game of basketball. And his point was that, guys, you need to listen to your coach. If you'll listen to me, you'll do a lot better than if you don't listen to me. It's the same with our parents. Parents know way more than we do as kids, and so we need to listen to them, and it'll benefit us. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, my son, keep your father's command. Don't reject your mother's teaching. Always bind them to your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk here and there, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you. For a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way to life. And then Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him. In other words, you're not born knowing it all. You're not born knowing anything. When you're born, your parents know way more than you. And as you're growing up, your parents know way more than you. And so you need to rely upon them. It'll benefit you. Number two, second reason to honor your parents is for God's reward. In other words, for the reward that God will give you. This commandment is the first one with a promise. So let's read it again. Exodus 20:12. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So what's the promise? It's a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this is not a guarantee that if you honor your parents, you won't die young, or that if you dishonor your parents, you will die young. God has already decided what he wants the length of your life to be. And so what this is a promise that if you honor God, you will live out the fullness of your days. Because you can, by foolishness and wickedness, cut short your days. By ignorance, you can cut short your days. You can live a much shorter life than God had intended for you. And so the promise is that if you will honor God, you will live, honor your parents, you will live out the fullness of your days. Now, Phil Johnson said that this is a principle, not a guarantee, a truism, not an absolute promise. Deuteronomy 5:16 is the second giving of the Ten Commandments. It says it like this: honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and so that you may prosper in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so here it says, not only will you live long, but you will what? You'll prosper. In other words, you'll be successful and you'll be happier and you'll flourish. Phil Ryken, in his book on the Ten Commandments, he explained it like this. He says, when the Bible speaks of living long in the land, it is not simply talking about how old people are when they die. The expression live long in the land is a Hebrew phrase for the fullness of God's blessing. It means to have an abundant life. Anyone who wants to live long and prosper should honor his father and mother. It's funny, there are tons of books out there on how to be successful in life. And there are tons of books out there on how to be healthy, on diet and exercise and fitness. But if you'll look on the shelves of all the success books and all the diet and exercise books, you're probably not going to find any of them that have anything to say about honoring your father and your mother. But the Bible says, if you want to be successful, this is not the only thing you need to do, but if you want to be successful, honor your parents. And if you want to be healthy and live out the fullness of your days, honor your father and mother. We would do well, we'd be wise to remember that. Matthew Henry, the Puritan author, wrote, those who in conscience toward God keep this commandment, may be sure that it shall be well with them and that they shall live as long on earth as infinite wisdom sees good for them, and that what they may seem to be cut short of on earth shall be abundantly made up in eternal life, the heavenly Canaan which God will give them. So while God, you have to remember that while God promises that you'll live out the fullness of your days in prosperity, if you follow this commandment, there's also the opposite warning that if you fail to honor your parents, you will not prosper. You will not live out the fullness of your days. Proverbs 30:17 says, as for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. All right, number three, the third motivation for honoring your parents is to obey God. simply out of obedience, to obey God. Remember, that's what it means to be a Christian, to obey God. When God says to do something, we do it. We follow His orders. So many people claim to believe in Jesus, but you have to remember, even the devil believes in Jesus. What makes you a Christian is not just this mental assent that something is true, but the fact that you've committed your life to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that you're following the commands of Jesus. And what is His command? That you honor your parents. You can be a really nice person, and you can give a lot of money to charity, and you can know a lot about the Bible, but if you're not obeying God's commands, then you're not living the Christian life. And one of God's commands is that you honor your parents. John 15:5, if you love me, you will keep my commands. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Deuteronomy 10:12-13, it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? Except to fear the Lord your God by walking in all His ways, to love Him and to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Keep the Lord's commands and statutes I am giving you today for your own good. God demands our obedience. And so He commands us to honor our parents. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6, New Testament, 1-2, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother. You cannot be an obedient, fully devoted Christian if you don't honor your parents. Number four, to please God. Fourth motivation for honoring your parents is to please God. Not only should you honor your parents out of obedience, but to please the Lord. To actually make God happy. If you love God, then you want to do those things that make God happy, and you want to avoid those things that make God unhappy, those things that offend Him, that those things that God doesn't like. You want to avoid those things. And the Bible tells us very clearly what God likes, what pleases the Lord. Look at Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. If you want to please the Lord, honor your parents. How important is it to God that you honor your parents? Well, remember, the penalty for dishonoring your parents was the death penalty in the Old Testament. And it's one of the Ten Commandments. So it's pretty important that you honor your parents. It's pretty important to God. Honoring your parents is not so much about your parents. It's really about you and about your relationship with God. And I say the same thing. We say the same thing when we talk about wives submitting to your husbands. Depending on who your husband is, and depending on who your parents are, this can be very, very difficult. You know, if you knew who my husband was, you wouldn't be just telling me to submit. If you knew who my parents were, you wouldn't be just telling me to honor them. But it's really not about who your husband is or who your parents are. It's about who you are. Are you a Christian? Do you love God? So regardless of who they are and how they treat you and what they say and don't say, you do it to please the Lord. You do it to obey the Lord. It's about your relationship with God. You can't have a good relationship with God unless you honor your parents. Number five, a fifth motivation is to prevent the breakdown of society. To prevent the breakdown of society, you have to understand that if you dishonor your parents, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to really have an effect on society. But if everybody dishonored their parents the way that you're dishonoring your parents, then society would break down. Many of the problems that we're seeing in our society today are because of the breakdown of the home, because of the breakdown of the family. If kids will honor their parents, remember, they will by default honor their neighbor and honor the Lord. If kids won't honor their parents, then they won't honor anyone. If an entire generation of kids is dishonoring their parents, rebelling against their parents, which is what we're seeing today, then society begins to crumble, begins to break down, begins to corrode. J.I. Packer, the theologian, said, the family is the basic social unit. No nation is stable or viral where family life is weak. Alistair Begg, he said, the well-being of a person, of a people, of a nation begins within the home. Virtually all civilizations have regarded the recognition of parental authority as being indispensable to a stable society. Undisciplined children spell ruin for society. St. Augustine, one of the Roman Catholic fathers, fathers of the Roman Catholic Church, said, "If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare?" So if you don't learn to honor your parents as a kid, you're going to grow up, and it's very, very likely that you're going to struggle with all of your relationships. The next one, the next motivation is related to this one. Number six, you should honor your parents to learn submission. Honor your parents to learn the virtue of submission. Your success in life is correlated to how well you submit to authority. If you want to succeed and be happy, get along with others, rise up the ladder, you've got to learn to submit to authority. All of life is submission. Everybody has to submit to somebody. The Bible calls children to submit to their parents. It calls wives to submit to their husbands, husbands to submit to God, Christians to submit to pastors, citizens to submit to the government, employees to submit to employers. There isn't a person alive who isn't called to submit to somebody. And submission isn't easy. Because of our sin, selfish nature, we want to be in charge of ourselves. We want to be the captain of our own ship. We want to do our own thing. We don't want anybody imposing their values and their rules and their will on us. It's very, very difficult. It goes against the way we are as sinners to submit. How do you learn submission? Where do you learn submission? It's so important, yet so hard. Well, God's plan is that parents would teach their children submission from the earliest of ages, whenever it's easiest to learn it. It's the easiest time to learn something. Teach your children submission before they can even talk. And then as your children grow up, it's much easier for them to submit to other forms of authority. Alistair Begg said, "Nobody will ever give honor where honor is due unless kids are taught to honor parents in the home." So this is how breaking the fifth commandment causes the breakdown of society, what we were just talking about. Little girls who don't learn to honor their parents will struggle to submit to their husbands. Little boys who don't learn to honor their parents will struggle to submit to God and love their wives as Christ loved the church. Kids who don't honor their parents won't honor their neighbors, won't honor the government, won't honor their bosses at work. But if you learn to get along with your parents, if you learn to honor your parents, if you learn to submit to that authority, even when you disagree, even when you don't like what they're telling you to do, you'll be much more prepared for life, which is all about submission. You've always got to submit. All the great people in the Bible had to learn submission before they were exalted to a place of greatness or leadership. Jacob was submissive to his wicked uncle Laban. Joseph was submissive to his slave master Potiphar. And then he was submissive to the prison warden when he was a prisoner. And then he was submissive to Pharaoh, the wicked secular Pharaoh. Moses was submissive to Pharaoh. Joshua was submissive to Moses. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, was submissive to Eli. David was submissive to Saul. Elisha was submissive to Elijah. Daniel was submissive to the Babylonian and Persian kings under which he served. Esther was submissive to her uncle Mordecai. Nehemiah was submissive to King Artaxerxes. So one of the most important skills that you can learn, and parents, this is why, don't hesitate to make your kids do what you tell them to do. They've got to learn submission. And when they don't, you've got to discipline them. They must learn to submit to authority if they're going to be happy and successful in life. It's one of the most important skills in life, and that's what God's will is. God's plan, His ideal plan, is for those kids to learn that in the home under the authority of their parents who love them so much. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you." If you want to be exalted by the Lord, you've got to humble yourself under authority. Number seven. The seventh motivation for honoring your parents is to show gratitude. To show gratitude, to say thank you. Thankfulness is an essential Christian virtue. We're called to give thanks to God, and we're called to give thanks to those who bless us, those people in our lives who bless us in any way. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus." Some people say, "What is God's will for my life? I wish I knew what God's will for my life is." Well, we can start here. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will. And certainly your parents qualify for this. Your parents gave you life. They put a roof over your head, put food in your belly, put clothes on your back, even though they may not have been the most stylish clothes. They may not have gotten you those Z Cavaricis. You kids don't know what those are, do you? Or those skids that you really wanted, those Jabot. Do kids still wear Jabot, Mara? You don't even know what that is. I had to have Jabots. Your parents protected you from harm. They changed your diaper. They took you many times. They took you to the doctor and the dentist and brought you to church and taught you right from wrong, even if imperfectly. Nobody's parents were perfect, but most of us would have to admit that our parents did a lot for us. And so out of gratitude, we should honor them. It's only right, it's only just that we honor them by making them a priority in our lives, by obeying them, by including them in your life. All right, number 8. 8th motivation for honoring your parents. This one is important. To teach your kids to honor you. Honor your parents. This is really for adult children like me. I'm an adult child. This is about you showing your kids how to honor you when you age, as you get older. If I want my kids to honor me, to take care of me when I get older, to include me in their lives, to stay in touch, to visit often, those are things that I need to do to my parents, with my parents, while my kids are living with me and while my kids are watching. By visiting my parents often, I'm teaching my kids to visit me often. By spending holidays and special occasions with my parents, I'm teaching my kids to do the same with me. By speaking respectfully about my parents when I'm not in their company, I'm teaching my kids to honor me with their words. By taking care of my parents when they need any kind of help, I'm teaching my kids to do that for me as I get older. More and more people today are abandoning that responsibility. They're abandoning the responsibility of caring for their aging parents. I said last week that many people these days are leaving home after high school, never to look back. They don't call, they don't write, they don't visit, they don't care. Albert Mohler said that we're living in a generation of voluntary orphans. God has given you such a wonderful gift of parents, yet so many are choosing to live as orphans. Many people are blessed with the gift of parents, but are relinquishing that gift. Matthew 7:12, it says, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets." This is called the golden rule. And there's a hidden principle in this verse that a lot of people overlook. Yes, it tells us the basic foundation of Christian ethics. If you want to know how to treat others, think about how you would want them to treat you. But the hidden principle is this. In general, people will treat you the way that you've treated them. In general, people will reciprocate the way that you treat them. And so, if you want your kids to honor you as you're aging, you better honor your parents, because you're teaching them. A lot of people don't realize as they're just abandoning the responsibility to really care and honor for their aging parents, they don't realize what they're doing is just teaching their kids to do the same to them whenever they get older. And they don't want that. They don't realize that's what they're doing. They're teaching their kids to do that. There was a TV commercial years ago that was basically a public service announcement about caring for the elderly in our society. It featured a grandpa and a dad and a young son, 3 generations. And the grandpa, he was so old that at this time he was living with his son. And the grandpa had really shaky hands. And he was handling a fine piece of china, a bowl, and he dropped it. And his son lost his temper and got mad at his dad. And his son just rebuked him. And he took his father, banished him in a room, and he gave him a wooden bowl, and he said, "Here, you can drop that." Well, a couple of days later, the father saw his little boy carving something. He said, "What are you doing, son?" the father asked. The boy held up an almost finished wooden bowl and said, "Dad, I'm making this for you." Whatever you do for your parents, your kids are likely going to do the same for you. Luke 6:38. I think I have Matthew up here. Sorry about that. It's supposed to be Luke. Yeah, Luke 6:38. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." How well do you want your kids to treat you as you're getting old? That's how well you should be treating your parents. There's the verse in Galatians that I don't have up here on the screen for you, where it says, "You reap what you sow." All right, number 9. One more motivation for honoring your parents, and that's to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Remember, that's what it means to be a Christian, to imitate Jesus, to act like Jesus. Ephesians 5:1, "Therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children." 1 John 2:6, "The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked." Philippians 2:13 says, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus." So how did Jesus treat his parents? It actually tells us. It tells us how he treated his parents when he was little, and it tells us how he treated his parents when he got older. Luke 2:51 describes Jesus as a child. It says, "Then he went down with them," his mom and dad, "and came to Nazareth," and was what? He was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. Listen, if you don't think your parents understand you, just think if you were Jesus. His mom and dad certainly didn't understand him. And if you think your mom and dad are imperfect, if you think your mom and dad are sinful, just think about Jesus' parents compared to him. He was perfect. He had all knowledge, all wisdom. And he was perfectly good. And here his parents were nothing like that, of course. They were just normal people like you and me. But he was still obedient to them. And then later on at the end of Jesus' life, when he was hanging on the cross, we still find him honoring his parents. John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. Jesus was hanging from the cross, and it says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved," that's the apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation and the gospel of John and the epistles of John. "When he saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother," woman, we're assuming that's respectful. If I would say that to my mama, "Woman," it might not work these days. It's a different culture. He said, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. And according to tradition, the apostle John cared for Mary until she died. And so we see Jesus, even as he's being tortured on the cross, still thinking about his mom, still thinking about how to honor his mother. So those are 9 reasons, 9 motivations to honor your father and your mother. Now let's move to one more question, and then we'll be done with this 5th commandment. The question is, how can parents make it easy for their kids to honor them? Remember that this command really applies to 2 people. It applies to children who are called to honor their parents, but it also applies to parents. You're to make it easy for your kids, not to make it hard on your kids to honor you. Kids can violate the 5th commandment by dishonoring their parents, disobeying their parents. Parents, you can violate the 5th commandment by making it hard, unnecessarily hard on your kids to honor you. Now, when I say, what can you do as a parent to make it easier for your kids to honor you, we're not talking about being a softy as a parent. And we're not talking about being a permissive parent. And we're not talking about give your kids whatever they want whenever they ask. That's not at all what we're talking about. How can you make it easy for your kids to honor you? And I should say easier, because remember, submission goes against our sinful nature. It's going to be hard, but how can you make it as easy as possible? Let's look at a couple of important verses about this. Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Okay, so don't stir up anger in your children. In other words, we must not give our children reasons to be justifiably angry with us. Now, your kids are going to get angry with you, and it's going to be a sin on their part. And that's going to happen often. Like when you tell your kids to clean their room whenever they want to go outside and play, they're going to get angry with you. There's nothing you can do about that. That's their bad. That's their sin. And whenever you tell your kids you can't leave the table and eat until you eat your green beans, they're going to get really angry with you, and there's nothing you can do about that. That's their sin. But there are times when, if we're not careful, we can give our kids a justifiable reason to get angry with us because of our sin. And that's what we must avoid when we stir up anger in our kids unnecessarily. And then Colossians 3:21 says something similar. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged." Now, the word exasperate just means the same thing as Ephesians 6, where it means to make your kids angry, to infuriate them. It means to give your kids some justifiable reason to be angry with you because you're being unjust. You're being completely unreasonable. You're being sinful. And then it says, notice the second part of Colossians 3:21. It says, so that they won't become what? Discouraged. So that they won't become discouraged. In other words, whenever we make our kids justifiably angry with us, we are discouraging them so that they no longer feel motivated to honor us. They no longer want to please us anymore. In fact, we can so discourage our kids that now they want to intentionally rebel simply to hurt us, simply to get back at us for being so rude and mean to them. So that's what we've got to be careful about. We've got to be careful about exasperating our kids, stirring up anger. Let's talk about how to do that. Six ways to make it easy on our kids to obey us, to honor us. Number one, don't speak disrespectfully to them. Don't speak disrespectfully to your kids. Now, this is difficult because you know as an adult that you're not supposed to speak disrespectfully to anyone, ever, as a Christian, ever. But it's so tempting to do it with your kids because you can get away with it. But really, what Ephesians and Colossians and the Apostle Paul is telling us is that you can't get away with it. You think you're getting away with it, but you're not. You're only driving your kids to get angry with you, and justifiably so. Do not lose your temper and speak disrespectfully to them. Now listen, it's your job to rebuke your kids, to correct them, to fuss at them. As I said, it's your job to tell them, stop acting like that. Don't do that. That's a bad choice. That's inappropriate. Don't say that. Don't touch that. Slow down. Sit down. All right, it's your job to rebuke your kids. That's what you're supposed to do. But you have to do it in the right way. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible." Right here, it equates discipline with correction. That's your job. You got to correct your kids, but you have to do it respectfully, without insulting them, without demeaning them, and without degrading them. Never speak harshly to your kids by raising your voice or yelling at them. Now, you need to raise your voice at times, but I'm talking about yelling and screaming at them. Don't insult them by calling them degrading names like stupid, idiot, dummy. Don't say mean things to your kids like, "I wish I would have never had kids in the first place." Or, "Man, I just wish I could run away and never come back to you kids." Sometimes parents say things like that, and they don't really mean it, but it really hurts. It really hurts the kids. Thomas Watson, the Puritan writer, said, "In all your counsels and commands, let them read love." So in everything that you say and do to your kids, let them read love, even in your discipline, even in your correction. Number two, Be sure the punishment fits the crime. Be sure the punishment fits the crime. It's your job to rebuke and correct your kids. It's also your job to discipline them. Spank them. Corporal punishment is biblical. It's necessary. Proverbs 13:24, the one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 23:13-14, don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he won't die. Depends on how big the rod is, huh, kids? Punish him with a rod and you will rescue his life from Sheol, from death. So your job is to discipline your kids. That means verbal correction and, if necessary, spanking. But be sure the punishment fits the crime. Don't be overly harsh. Don't be physically abusive with your kids. Don't spank out of anger. There's a big difference between physical abuse and spanking. Make sure that you understand that difference. And whenever you punish them too harshly, they begin to resent you. So be careful. Number three, give your children what they need. Give them what they need. Provide for them. This is your job as a parent, to provide for your kids. 2 Corinthians 12:14, it says, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. Ephesians 5:29 says, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Your children are your own flesh and blood. You're to provide for them. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So as a parent, you're called to give your children whatever they need to flourish in life and to be healthy. And when you don't, they will resent you. Now, this doesn't mean giving your children everything they want. Parents tend to make two mistakes whenever it comes to meeting your child's needs. Some parents don't give their children what they do need. But some parents give their children too much. They spoil their kids. And they give their kids things that aren't good for them. It's not your children's job to give your children everything that they want. That would make you a bad parent. You have to give your children everything that they need and realize that your children do not know what they need. That's why God gives children parents. Your children don't know what they need. They want a smartphone. They don't need one. Or I should say they need not to have one. Some of you kids are not going to like me. They want to watch TV. They need to go outside and play. They want to eat junk food. They need to eat healthy food. Children should not be given everything they want. They should not be able to decide what they want. This is not a democracy in your home. You're the boss. You're wiser. You're smarter. Your children don't have the willpower to choose what is right, even if they did know what was right, but they don't. They need you. All right? Number four. Avoid favoritism. Avoid favoritism. We have to really follow the example or the warning that we learned from Jacob, who had 12 sons, and he favored his son Joseph. And what this caused, it's interesting, is not just were his sons upset with him as the father, but they really took out their resentment on the very son that he favored, on Joseph. They were so angry that Jacob was favoring Joseph that they decided to kill him. Good thing they changed their mind and sold him into slavery. And so we have to be careful that we don't succumb to favoritism. You know, Lydia's mom was so good at this. Miss Rita, she was so good at this. She was too good at this. Whenever we got married, Miss Rita started treating me like one of her kids. And I didn't expect that. I mean, I'm a son-in-law. I understand, you know, it's kind of like a kid, but I'm not really one of her kids. But like when it came to birthday time, if she gave Lydia $50, well, when it came to my birthday, she made sure to give me $50. And I'm thinking, I didn't expect that. I didn't even want that. I felt like she should favor Lydia over me. That's her daughter. Same thing with Christmas. She just was so careful not to play favorites. And that was wise of her. Be careful about that. Number five, don't act immorally or embarrass your kids. Don't act immorally and embarrass your kids. When you do something shameful that embarrasses your kids, it causes them to resent you. If you get a divorce, if you commit adultery, if you get a DWI or something like that, if you get arrested, if you get sent to prison, if you get caught stealing at work and get fired, these are things that are very shameful for kids. They'll cause them to lose respect for you and to resent you. They believe that their parents should be above that kind of behavior, and they're right. Along those lines, you have to be careful about being a hypocrite. Hypocrisy in the home really causes your kids to resent you. You have to practice what you preach. You have to walk your talk as a parent, or your kids will resent you. Thomas Watson said, "If you would have honor from your children, set them a good example. It makes children despise parents when the parents live in contradiction to their own precepts. When they bid their children be sober and yet they themselves get drunk, or bid their children fear God and are themselves loose in their lives." So the bottom line is, if you want your kids to honor and respect you, you have to be honorable. You have to be respectable in your character. And then number six, one more, is teach them to honor you. To make it easy as possible on your kids to honor you, you need to teach them to honor you. Your kids don't naturally know to do this. They don't understand this. You have to teach your kids. Have you ever actually taught your kids the fifth commandment? Have you ever sat them down and read Exodus 20:12 to them and said, "Hey kids, God says you need to honor me. And if you do, God will give you a long, prosperous life. And here's how you honor your parents." Teach your kids to do that. That's so important. Teach your kids to be obedient to God by honoring their parents. And then whenever your kids fail to honor you, you got to discipline them. Discipline them whenever they're slow to obey, whenever they obey with a bad attitude, whenever they raise their voice at you. Discipline them. If you don't teach your kids to honor you, and if you don't demand that they honor you whenever they're in the home, then they are going to dishonor you as they grow up, and it'll be partly your fault. When I was in the fourth grade at church, First Baptist Lafayette, my mom was talking with a group of her friends. They were standing up and talking, and I went up to my mama and interrupted her in front of all those ladies, and I was really rude in the way I was talking to her. I don't remember what I was saying, but my mama turned to me, and she did something she'd never done before, and she never did again. But she turned to me and she went, pop. She slapped me right in the face. I mean, she gave me a good pop, good slap. And I got real quiet suddenly. So I was embarrassed, super embarrassed, and started to get tears in my eyes. And I quickly walked away. I left my mama alone. Now, my mama would never tell you to do that to your kids. Never slap your kids in the face. She would never advise that. But I got the point. And I didn't resent my mama for doing that. I knew I deserved that. She sent a message to me loud and clear that I was to honor her. And I'd forgotten in that moment that I'm supposed to honor my mom. I'm supposed to respect her. I'm supposed to treat her differently than one of my brothers. She's my mom. Teach your kids to honor you. Kids, I'm not telling your parents to slap you today, but I am telling them to teach you to honor them. Last week, I ended with some questions of reflection for kids, for us as children, about honoring our parents. Today, I want to end with some questions for parents. These are just rhetorical questions for reflection. Six questions. Number one, are you living in a way that is worthy of honor? Number two, are you practicing what you preach? Number three, are you adequately meeting your kids' needs, their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs? Are you meeting their needs? Number four, are you spoiling your kids? You know why they call it spoiling, right? When something spoils, it stinks. Some parents laugh it off and say, oh, you know, they're only in the home for a little while, you know, gonna spoil them. No. If you spoil them, nobody will like them for the rest of their life, all right? One of your jobs as a parent is make your kid likable. Don't spoil them. And then number five, are you teaching them to honor you? Are you teaching them? And number six, are you verbally or physically abusing your kids? If so, stop it. All right? If you're not the parent that you should be, and you fit in at this church, all right, because none of us are. We're all works in progress, and we all need to grow. If you're not the kid who you need to be, if you're not honoring your parents correctly, then this is just the perfect church for you. We're all growing to learn to honor our parents. But let's make a commitment as Christians and as a church family. This is a community project to do this together. We're going to honor our parents, and we're going to be honorable parents.